I want to be a missionary. We'll study today, I'll go through the first of two sessions on missions. And today's theme would be, if you've sensed in your heart that you want to be a missionary, here are some thoughts for us to consider. So, I want to be a missionary. What is the definition of a missionary? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 and 11, talk about that God gave gifts unto men. Literally it means God gave men as gifts, such as the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. God gave men as gifts. And the missionary too is a gift. But in that specific case, the missionary is a gift to a specific nation, to a specific people group. Around Christmas time, we think about giving loved ones, family, friends, gifts. And the better we know the individual, the more quality gift we want to give them. When we as a congregation, as a church body, send a missionary to a people group or a nation, we want to send them a quality gift. Before making this statement, I want to be a missionary, you first ought to be, we first ought to have done some preparation within the structure of the local church body, I mean. And here are some of those things we're looking at an individual having developed. One, faithful. They ought to be faithful. Faithful even in the little things. Even in the parable of the talents, Jesus mentioned, if you're faithful in with little, you will be made Lord or responsible over much, over more. So number one, we need to be faithful. Faithful even in the little things. Number two, we need to have proven ourselves to be committed. Committed to the Word of God. Committed to the Word of God as a very foundation of our lives, the very basis of our lives, a complete commitment to the Word of God, a commitment to prayer, a commitment to the local body, to the church, to the local body, the body of Christ. We need to be faithful. Second, we need to be committed. Third, we need to be dedicated. Dedicated to whom or to what? Dedicated to a cause, the cause of Christ. So number three, we need to be dedicated to a cause, and that's the cause of Christ. Even dedicated to the vision of your local church. To the vision of your local church that your pastor has, that the leadership has. Dedicated to a cause. Number four, loyal. We need to develop loyalty, to have developed loyalty. We need to be loyal to those that God has placed in authority. And in spiritual authority, we need to be loyal to the pastor, to the leadership. Loyalty, we need to be, number one, faithful, two, committed, three, dedicated, four, loyal. Loyal to the leadership, to those in spiritual authority, to the pastor, to the leadership. Now, when we talk loyalty, we don't mean blind loyalty. Sure, we can question, but in the right attitude, in the right spirit, proffer our suggestions, but we still need to be loyal, underlying loyalty to the leadership. Many times, an individual or a couple or a family can really put the leadership of the local church in a bind, in a tough spot between a rock and a hard place, so to speak, when they come to the leadership, to the pastor, to the missions board, to the leadership, and say something like this: I believe God has placed a call on my life. Now be careful with the word call. We'll get to that shortly. This is what oftentimes puts the leadership in a tough spot, creates a difficult situation. Therefore, I share this from experience. Be careful not to come up to leadership and say, I believe God has a call in my life for thus and so and thus and so. If that is true, if God has placed a call in your life, and if that's the way you state it to leadership, then really, you're only merely informing your pastor. You're informing your missions board. You're telling them what you believe God has spoken to you already. You're not asking their opinion. You're not submitting something for their consideration. So why even ask the pastor or the leadership? If God's called you, if he's told you to do something, go ahead and do it. Why are you here telling us or sharing with us? One of the most often abused terms in Christendom, perhaps, is the word call. It immediately takes on sacred connotations. It's like, it's a thus saith the Lord from God Almighty to me and pastor or a church board or committee. I'm just informing you, since God has spoken that to me, I trust you see it and fall in line. That is not submission, folk. It's probably the most often abused term, the word call. It takes on sacred connotations, and I like the way one church leader put it. In fact, a missions leader put it. He said, the use or the abuse of the word of the term call or of the phrase God told me, God said, God showed me, the abuse of that term is akin to a person overusing their hotline to heaven. That is overusing their hotline to heaven. It's like they've got a direct linkage there with God, and somehow the leadership is unable to see what God has shown them. What happens then if the leadership or the missions committee or the missions board, upon deliberation of what you submitted as your call, do not have a complete peace about it, and if they decline your proposal for whatever reasons they discern, then you end up feeling hurt and offended? The question is, who is wrong? Is it the missions committee? Is it your missions board? Is it your pastor? Is it your leadership? Is it God? Because remember, God was supposed to have shared this with you or told this to you. Maybe we are the ones who are at fault, not God. God's never at fault. And oftentimes it's not the missions board. Submit. Instead of saying, pastor or missions board, here's what I believe God has told me to do, just submit your thoughts, your desires. Share what you think, the direction you sense that you feel yourself being led. Try to keep God out of it, to make it look like, well, it's God and I telling you this. Sure, this is my heart. Here's where I have been functioning in the body. Now, you only consider submitting or sharing your thoughts after you have been in the local congregation for a period of time, at least 2 years. I would recommend at least 2 years to have been known to the leadership of the congregation, to the pastors in the congregation, to a smaller group, like a cell group or a care group in the congregation. And after you've proven yourself to be loyal, faithful, committed, and dedicated, then only do you have, would it be proper to approach your missions board and say, here's what I sense in my heart. And leave it open-ended. Let them take the matter from that point. Let them discuss the leadership, I mean your spiritual covering in your local body. Let them discuss that and let them come back to you and release them even from getting back to you if need be. So that you don't, they don't feel that they have to get back to you if they don't have a peace about it. So submit your thoughts or desires after you've followed through the first few points that I shared with you. Be open then, once they give the matter deliberation, for any counsel or questions from them in return. Even allow them to challenge you. Let them feel the liberty, the peace, and the freedom of their spirits to question and challenge you. Oftentimes, because of their experience collectively as a missions board and the pastor and leadership, they would think of some things and some angles you probably never dreamed of. Because of their experience. So be open for those questions to be raised, to be posed to you. And don't feel like you have to have all the answers. It's a learning experience. It's a preparation time. Now, after all of that, if it is then confirmed by the pastor and leadership, then it may well be that you have a call of God in your life to fulfill a certain goal, a vision in a mission setting. Here's another thought. How does your vision, what you feel is strong in your heart, line up with the vision of the pastor of your congregation and or with the leadership's vision? Are you willing to flow within the banks of a river, so to speak? For here's the pastor and the leadership, and they have this vision that they are flowing with. Are you willing to get in line with their vision and to flow with them? See, even though you may have something that's a burden, let's say, that's placed in your heart by the Lord, and you so much want to fulfill that, if it does not flow within the framework of the vision of the leadership, there may be problems. in the actualization, the realization. The church, your local expression, the local body is not all things to all men. The Holy Ghost supernaturally networks His perfect and complete will through the entire body of Christ, even through the various denominations, at least those that are preaching salvation, and thus fulfilling His will. It may be that for the fulfillment of your vision, there may be another local body wherein, in the framework of their vision, your burden and your desire has a niche, has a place to be fulfilled. Sometimes that's a frustration that folk in the body leaves them feeling unfulfilled. And we are not, and we cannot, no single individual congregation can claim to be all things to all men. If you can flow within the vision of the pastor and leadership of your local body, therein lies safety. Because then you are under their spiritual covering and under their spiritual authority. There's a release, there's a peace for you to function more fully in the giftings God has placed in your life. Another thought, are the doors for the ministry you sense God is calling you into, are the doors swinging open, or do you feel you've got to force them open and pry them open? That's another way you can know in your own heart whether this is of the Lord and whether the timing is of the Lord. We need to ask ourselves, if we say, I want to be a missionary, we need to ask ourselves, what have I accomplished in the home, at work, at church, in a cell group setting, and in my finances? And let's touch on each of those briefly. Before we consider seriously getting up in the mission field, here are some things we need to, the nuts and bolts in preparation. At home, one, have we developed a good, strong marriage? If we have children, have we been successful at disciplining our children, raising them, nurturing them up in the fear and the love of God and His Word? Do we have we developed good family relationships? B, at work, have we been able to hold down a job for a few years, or have we been job hopping from place to place, not even being able to hold a job down for more than 2 years? Have we been able to hold a job down for a reasonable length of time? Have we earned the respect of our fellow workers at work, of our boss at work? Have we shown ourselves to be steady, consistent, and dependable workers? So many bosses out there are looking for people who are dependable, who they can depend on, who will show up to work and show up on time. Third, as far as our relationship with the church, with the local body, have we been faithful in attending the temple ministries on Sunday mornings whenever it's open? Have we been involved with the church? All of this, I mean, you cannot go to a missions board or to your pastor and ask him or them to consider sending you out as a missionary if you weren't a member in the first place. So this precludes, it assumes that you are a member, which means you are hooked up with that local vision, you are committed to the vision of your pastor and that local leadership and of that missions board. So we assume the fact that you are a member of your local, the local expression of the body of Christ in your area. So in relation to the church, have you been attending regularly and faithfully? Have you been involved? Not only have you been a member, but have you been an active member? We're not talking about bench warmers. An active member, someone who's involved in the ministry of that congregation. Are you doctrinally in agreement with your local congregation? If they're going to send you out, you need to be. For example, if you are part of a congregation like this at the worship center, are you spirit-filled? Do you have a prayer language? That's an important part of our doctrinal stand, of our tenets of faith. Are you spirit-filled? Do you have a prayer language? Do you pray in tongues? Do you build yourself up on a daily basis by praying in the Spirit, as in Jude 20? Have you, when I talked about being an active member, here are some opportunities. Have you served this congregation over the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years, however long you've been here, by helping out in the nursery or in the ushers ministry, in the greeters ministry, with the parking lot attendants? Have you been vitally hooked or linked up by reaching out, by making calls to visitors, by caring for people? Have you been involved at the, as a cell leader, perhaps? I'll come to that shortly. Helping out with the parking lot, with the kitchen, wherever, whenever, however, have you been available? You've heard that statement many times. God's not looking for our abilities, He's looking for our availability. Have you been available to your local church over the years you've been involved with it? In the areas of your strengths, I'm talking. And coming to the next part, 4, was your cell groups or your care groups, your local, your small groups, your house-to-house ministry. I'm not talking about just having been a part of a cell group, but have you been vitally hooked up and linked up? Have you been in a cell group? Have you helped in reaching out, in caring for people, in visiting people, in visiting those who visited the church, calling up visitors and following through with a personal visit? You know, visitation of people who visit your local church, of people who are in need, of people who are not well, is not the responsibility primarily of the pastor or the pastors or the pastoral staff. It is sheep that beget sheep. Shepherds don't bring forth sheep. Sheep bring forth sheep. Sure, the pastors go, the elders go, they lay hands on the sick, they pray for them, they recover. But as far as reaching out, calling, you can, from a cell group, you can call out, you can reach out to people. Sheep beget sheep. Have you, while we focus on cell ministry, now the question was, I want to be a missionary. These are directly related. If you want, I don't want to go ahead of myself, but if you want to go out there, you've got to first prove it here, at home, folk. If, in referring to a cell ministry, have you taken leadership of a cell group? Have you served as a cell leader, as a care group leader, cell group leader? Have you experienced growth in that cell group when you were leading it? Has there been multiplication where the number of people have grown to where you've had to multiply into two groups? Have you had more than one multiplication over the number of years that you've been a cell leader? Also, the beautiful thing about operating in a cell group is you have much more opportunity to operate in your giftings as well as to draw forth the giftings of others. In a small group setting, you have that opportunity, not really on a Sunday morning. Point number 5, in our finances, we talked about, I want to be a missionary, well then what have I accomplished in the home, at work, at church, in the cell group setting, and now with my finances? Have we been working towards being debt-free? Yes, we mean paying off all our debts before we get out on the field. Just as a quick thought, I'm aware of a missionary couple that left the States, went out in the field, and they left their home church with a relatively new car, which had still $12,000 worth to be paid off on it, and they left their local church holding the bag on that to find a buyer. I said, are we working to be debt-free? No strings attached? Are all of our loans paid off? You know, really the house could and should be, if there's anything left, the only thing that should be left with a payment or a mortgage left on it, if any at all. Because if everything else is taken care of, you can always sell the house with the money you get, pay off the mortgage, so you still leave debt-free. You know, I'm not sure if we have thought about this. If a missionary, an individual or a couple or a family, goes out to the field not debt-free, you know what can happen to part of the support that they receive? It goes to paying off the debts that they still had accumulated while living back home in the States. In other words, a missionary who's out there receiving support from people like us have to use some of that support to pay off loans and debts, sometimes as far back as college and school loans. So we need to work on being and getting debt-free before we go out on the field. You see why that is so important. Have we tithed faithfully I want to be a missionary, but have I tithed faithfully? You know, this might sound a little shocking. Could you possibly imagine sending a thief out and to represent you as a missionary? But in Malachi, that's what God says. If you're not tithing, you're robbing God, which means we're thieves. And could we be supporting someone out there who in the Lord's eyes is equivalent to a thief, because while here they weren't faithfully tithing? Have I been tithing faithfully? Above that, have I been giving offerings? And when I said offerings, we covered this in the sessions on finances. Offerings to other missionaries, to other local ministries, those who we know, rub shoulders with, and are aware of on a personal basis. So have we not only been tithing, but have we been giving offerings to those ministries? Here's an interesting thought. If I have never actively participated in supporting a missionary in the years that I was at home, I'm talking about offerings now above the tithe, how then can I expect when I'm out in the field tomorrow other people in the body to rise up and support me? The Word of God is very clear. What you sow, you will reap. So if we are giving offerings to missionaries, to ministries, locally, right here at home and across the world, when we are here and working and preparing for the field, when we are participating in that way, we can expect to receive when we are out in the field from others, because we have sowed those very kinds of seed. It has been suggested by some church leaders that really nobody should be sent out as a missionary until and unless, apart from what I've already shared, until they have had some previous leadership experience. Even perhaps in this congregation, say, equivalent to that of a touch pastor for a while. But I would say at least a care leader who has been faithful in that, who has experienced growth, and who has helped others to grow and brought their giftings out in the body of Christ. At least at the care leader level. We need, this is so important, folk, in any job description, but so much more with missionaries. If I am to be a missionary, I must have a teachable spirit. Many missionaries have a bold, aggressive, positively aggressive type personality. They're the aggressive type individuals. But that doesn't mean that they cannot listen and learn and change. We must be willing to change. We must be willing to say, I'm sorry, I messed up, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That also means, the word delight in Psalm 37:4 also means, be soft and pliable before the Lord. Be pliable. We need to accept change. We need to admit we are wrong. We make mistakes and say, I'm sorry. I apologize. Will you forgive me? To summarize some of these thoughts, I want to give the credit to this brother, businessman friend, Leon Martin, from our congregation. He said, pertaining to a missionary, hey, if it doesn't work at home, don't export it. If it doesn't work at home, don't export it. Sure, he had experienced that in a business context. Who is going to buy our goods abroad if they are second class? If it works at home, the people right here, it's a hot selling item, it's working, then it's going to perhaps take off abroad. If we can prove ourselves right here at home in the local body, ministering to people on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, being faithful in the temple ministry, in the house-to-house ministry, in our finances, in our home, in the cell group, in the church body, then if it works at home, that's the quality you want to export. Remember, we defined the missionary the very first thing this morning. The definition of a missionary is a quality gift to another nation, country, or a people group. There is a great difference between what is called a burden and a call. A burden, well, let's explain it this way. If you take a short-term mission trip, first of all, we followed through the points I've just shared. And if you still feel, I want to be a missionary, Go first and take a short-term trip, 2 to 3 weeks. Sometimes that's not long enough. If you're seriously contemplating long-term missions involvement, go for 2 to 3 months. Sometimes maybe 3 to 4, 6 months. And here's what's going to happen. You will find that there will be challenges in most of these nations with bugs, hygiene, power failure, food, language problems, cultural differences, corruption with the local government and bureaucracy and red tape, delays in getting from one place to another and people meeting their appointments. They're not anywhere time conscious like we are in the States. Poor roads and jolting transportation, loneliness, a sense of loneliness and separation from your friends and family at home. There's that longing for home and friends. You long for that food. I mean, imagine out there, you're somewhere in the middle of Africa, let's say, or Asia, and some island in Asia, and there you are, longing for a nice, hot, fresh, soft pretzel. And then you come back after that short-term missions experience, and you say, that's not for me. Those challenges were too real, too much. I'm coming back. I'm going to get back into my job, work hard, and I am going to be a sender. When you have those types of feelings, that's what is called a burden. That means you are not called to be a missionary, but you have a burden for missions. So you come back, you work, you send somebody else, you send yourself through your finances to a number of missionaries, perhaps, or to a part of the world that God has laid in your hearts. So you come back, that's called a burden. You have those experiences and you say, that is not for me. I'm sorry. I just can't hack that. I'll come back and I'll send somebody else. You know, the ones with a burden, here's their type of reaction. After the 4 or 6 months out in a short-term mission experience, they so long for home again, they've about had it in that other culture. They're the type who, when they get off the plane when they at the States, they're the type who, when they've hit the bottom, they get off the walkway and they bend down and kiss the soil. Those are the type who have a burden. They're not called to be missionaries. However, if after the points I've outlined and after a short-term missions experience, if all of these above, you return with a heart of compassion for the people. You have a heart of compassion for them, and you don't care about the mosquito bites. You don't care about the heat of the sun. You actually begin to like the food. You begin to appreciate and get used to squatting on the floor in a hut and eating with the other people. Some of the fear of the different types of food, etc., starts to fade away, and you begin getting sensing yourself stronger in your spirit. If some of those feelings start to take place, then, and here's another very important point, if you start to get a desire to learn the language of the people, and if you can't wait to return when you've got back, and you, when you're there, you want to pour your life out to the people, then perhaps that's a call. Just coming to the leadership and saying, I believe God has called me to be a missionary to such and such a place, does not cut it. After your short-term experience, first, prove yourself in the local body, then a short-term experience, and then if you feel, I can't but help it, I want to go back, your heart is moved with compassion for those people. You're restless, you're not at peace here. Then, perhaps it is a call on your heart from the Lord. However, whether you are a goer or a sender, everyone is a missionary. Either by actually being out in the field, or the senders, through our finances and keeping them on the field, supporting them. Oftentimes, at a missions conference, most churches have a missions conference once a year, you have a special speaker and people are moved, stirred by the message, and they feel, yes, all of us need to go. We all need to be missionaries. People are moved to go. Usually, those who respond to the altar call of this dynamic missions conference speaker, the ones who often respond are those who are more easily moved emotionally. Now, they could be very precious people, but oftentimes a higher percentage of those that respond to that altar call, yes, I want to go, send me, they come up there, and then the minister or the pastor will pray for them, and not much happens afterwards because it was an emotional response, and things fade away down the road. And this pattern will repeat. They will go up to the altar, they have tears in their eyes, they are so moved, but then it's an emotional move. Oftentimes, at those same missions conferences, it is those who do not go up to the altar call, those who are often sitting nice and smug and tight in their seats, who have the developed skills and giftings, oftentimes they are the ones, there will be some inner turmoil, but they won't get up, will not express it, not even so much as facially. They are the ones many a time who ought to be answering that call. But they've got the gifting, they've got the talents, they've got the abilities, they're too secure, too comfortable to be moved and jolted from that position, and then the missions month is over, and that fades away from their hearts, and another year repeats itself. For some of us, after having served in various capacities, well, I want to specifically share just two things for Patsy and myself. Personally now, as you all are aware, we have served in this body for 7 years in various capacities. And for us, after having done that here for 7 years, we saw and set two specific goals once we sensed this was happening in our lives. And they were one, when a high priority was, if we are to go out as missionaries, we need to get debt-free, 100% debt-free. Two, we need to get our visas. And we were talking about going indefinitely, which meant permanent immigrant visas. And for both of these, we sensed that it would be approximately 2 years for them to transpire. And listen to this, folks. If you're talking about the confirmation of the Lord, April 17th, 1990, we became 100% debt-free. And May 23rd, 1990, we got our visas. Both these that we had set about 2 years ago transpired, came to pass within 36 days of each other, barely 1 month apart. So it's all right to put a fleece or keep a specific goal out there and then see God work his plan in your life, and that's a great confirmation to you. There are three pointers that are very helpful in any major decision. One, is this decision in line with the Word of God? Is it in line with the Word of God? Can I find ample scripture to back this up? Two, what about my circumstances? When I say circumstances, I mean how do your parents feel about it? How does your family feel about it? How does your spouse and your children feel about it? How does the leadership and the missions board feel about it? What shape are your finances in? Those are all part of your circumstances. Just because the Word of God says, go ye therefore preach the gospel, and you haven't got your act together at home, that's not going to cut it. It's in line with the Word. Are my circumstances also lining up, things coming together? And thirdly, is there a real peace deep down in my heart, in our hearts as a family? Now please, please don't just go on peace alone. That's why many a marriage has ended up in divorce and hurt. Because you talk to the young couple, they have a great quote-unquote peace. This is the one for me, I love him, I love her, and that will take us through. And you see how far it really takes them through. So please don't make any major decision based on quote-unquote the peace in your heart alone. It's in line with the Word of God. Do the circumstances line up? And is there a peace in our hearts? I've heard it said that when a ship comes into harbor, there are three lights that need to line up exactly. If the ship is off course, it will see all the three lights. But if the ship is on target, all the three are exactly one behind the other, and the ship knows, the captain of the ship knows it's on target. And so also, and it's safe away from the rocks that could dash and break that ship. So also with any major decision of ours. Is it in line with the Word? Do the circumstances line up? Do I have a peace in my heart? If all of them line up, one behind the other, then you know you're on target in the plan of God. To move to another thought, where does your local church, our church, stand on missions? Where are we in our entire missions program? And that's something each of us have to look at and answer and ask for ourselves. However, it's very interesting to note that there are four basic positions on missions with respect to local churches. One, it's called mission blind. There are some churches, people, believe it or not, now we come from a blessed congregation, there are some churches who are struggling to make two ends meet and pay their own pastor and meet their utility bills, etc., and even pay a mortgage on the building. where do they have a dime to support a missionary? So some churches are mission blind, haven't even got off the starting blocks. Second, some churches, it's mission dawn. They're just opening their eyes to the fact that, yes, we need to get involved in missions around the world, locally and around the world. Thirdly, there are some churches that are mission ablaze. I mean, from every which, where, anybody comes by, there's not enough screening, there's not a proper guideline set up, and people coming from all over, you get people leeching off the ministry, wild cards coming in, mission ablaze. And the fourth position is mission focused. We need to focus in on who is God connecting with this ministry? Who are those from within this congregation rising up who are actually missionaries, who people whom we know, whom we trust, whom we have a relationship with? Those are the ones we need to focus in on, mission focused. You've got to say no to different ones. You will always have pleas. You will always have people coming up and saying, can you support us? Can you support us? Can you support us? First question, where is your local church? Why aren't they behind you? Aren't you under their spiritual covering? And those are some of the questions we need to ask under mission focused. So mission blind, mission dawn, mission ablaze, and mission focused. Some encouragement here to you if you feel a call to missions. One, where God guides, He provides. Where He leads, He feeds. Two, where God appoints, He anoints. He will give you the anointing commensurate, proportional to the task He is calling you to. Three, and what's this? The heart of Jesus Christ Himself. In Luke 23 verse 34, we see the last prayer of Jesus ever on the cross. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His last prayer was a prayer for souls of people, even his enemies. Mark 16 verse 15, Jesus commissions his disciples and followers by saying, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. His last command was to save souls. And in Luke 23 verse 43, Jesus' last act on the cross, He tells the penitent thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He saved a soul. His last prayer was the forgiveness of souls. His last command was to go and preach to save souls. His last act was to forgive the penitent thief, and He saved a soul. Folk, I pray to God, oh God, let us be consumed with the passion for the salvation of lost souls. What is the bottom line anyway? It is souls, souls, souls. The salvation of people, of souls. Fifth, God is looking for voices in the wilderness. Voices in the spiritual wilderness areas of the world, not echoes in the church. God is looking for voices in the spiritual wilderness of this world, not just echoes in the church. Sixth, it is very rare, I like this, it is very rare that God calls you to do something that you can do. I repeat, it is very rare that God calls you to do something that you can do. Because if we could do it anyway, guess who ends up getting and taking the glory for it? Us. He calls us to do what in the natural man to us is impossible. But with God all things are possible, therefore He gets the glory. Because people looking at you and me say, you mean Andrew Taylor? He could never do that. And they're right. It's because of God living inside of me, inside of you. Seven, and here's a beautiful passage from Scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, which many of us are familiar with, when he has a vision of the Lord in his temple. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, Isaiah says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean mind and unclean lips and tongue. Woe is me. In Isaiah 6, 5, he says, woe. In Isaiah 6, verses 8 and 9, God is saying, go after Isaiah experienced. God himself in a deeper, real way. After Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, his woe changed to go. What are some of our expectations before we go to visit a missionary? And I'll close this session this morning with these thoughts. For one, remember, the missionary or missionaries are people. They're human beings like you and I too. Two, in addition to the work of the ministry that they have in the field, along with the administrative and organizational part, they have all their regular daily chores to do. Three, when we go out to visit them on the field, I'm talking about when we, from here, from home, go to visit a missionary. Three, be prepared to help them in any way possible. Offer to help, offer to serve, to wash dishes, to wash clothes. Invariably, they probably don't even have clothes washers and dishwashers like we do at home. Offer to wash dishes, wash clothes, iron the clothes, babysit, give them a break. Four, don't visit them with a chip on your shoulder, with the attitude of, well, I'm here now, ready to preach, minister, teach, heal the sick, raise the dead, etc. This is my time, where are the banners? Welcome, so-and-so from the USA. Let's not go down with a chip on our shoulders. When we go to visit a missionary, let's have in our hearts that it is not an ego trip. We are not going down there for an ego trip. Because back here in the States, you're so-and-so, so in the field, you want to steal the show. Fifth, be a part of that missionary and of their ministry even before you visit. I said, be a part, become a part of that ministry even before you visit. Why? That already then will provide a heart link and give you an open door. The Word of God says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What happens if you're already a part of that ministry and with that missionary, if you're already hooked up with that ministry and with that missionary, then the missionary knows who you are, knows you already believe in them. The missionary is not asking, who is this person? I've heard that so-and-so is coming to visit. They know who you are. You've already communicated with them. You believe in them. You've put your treasure where your treasure is, your heart will be also. They know you believe in them. You will be welcome before you arrive. They will want to have people like you come and visit their ministry. It also will give them, the missionary, the feeling that they are accountable to you, that you have a right to come and inspect their work. It's not a feeling of, who's this person coming? Because you have had that prior relationship. Six, pray for that missionary regularly. Let them know that you pray for them. Communicate that when you talk to them or write to them. Things like, just say simple things like, we have your picture on our refrigerator. We remember you often. We remember you in our daily devotions. I've had people come up to me and say, our children, make sure we pray for them daily. Indicate that you read their newsletter, that you read their communications, that you're up with what's happening. Refer to what's happening. Avoid unnecessary questions. That will show them that you didn't even read their newsletter if you weren't following through. Lord bless.